The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidelon.
Heyo, good morning.
In the hizzy on this lovely morning after the greatest day in NBA play in history.
It was a fun one, man. It was a fun one.
What a doubleheader of basketball. We'll get into it momentarily. I asked yesterday, 24 hours ago, I'm like, what's your favorite? You know, I was sort of derisively. What's your favorite moment in play in history? Meaning there was none.
Here's the thing, it all doesn't count, too. So, like, nothing counts. This is all just, if it's a great moment for you, it's just in your imagination 5 years from now, because it's not statistically in the record books anywhere.
That's correct. But there are betting implications, which I want to get into. On the show today, Will Hill will join us. All of his bets coming up this hour. Stormy Bonatoni. There we go. Getting Stormy on the show. Nice job. She'll talk NHL playoffs with us. Two more days of the regular season. But everything is set in the East. Nothing much but one series set in the West with just two nights left, including the Pacific Division. We'll talk to Stormy about all things NHL playoffs. Todd Wishnev a little later on. Toddy. Talking MLB with us, Paul Spohr on Major League Baseball, Nick Whalen a little later on the NBA playoffs. And Kelly and I, we always do this. We were like, we don't know if people care that we do this, but we have a ball doing this.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be our top 10 NBA power rankings heading into the playoffs. Obviously, you know, night of play-ins still to come tonight, and then play-ins being resolved on Friday night. But we're just going to power rank our top 10 teams.
Yes.
And we'll repeat this when we do it later, but let me just say this. I predict that everybody on Earth has the same five teams in whatever order in the top five.
Oh, interesting.
And then I believe no one has the next five teams the same, because it depends how you do this. The way that I did it is,
who's the fifth team? I feel like I could see four.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that about the fifth team.
I think you could make a lot of arguments.
Yeah, maybe you can. Maybe you can. I will say this. The next five, though, it really all depends on what you're prioritizing. For me, it's can the playoffs work out in a certain way?
You know, obviously, me and you should have texted about this, but I did it that way, too.
And not necessarily path, either. It's more like if all things gelled for those teams. Well, we'll get into it.
Yeah, kind of confidence rankings, right, of making it to the finals.
That's right. And we might have some big golf news coming down the pipe during the show today. I don't know.
I don't really know either. I'll tell you, 2 hours ago, it felt way more likely that we were going to be hearing something official about Liv going away during the show today, but it is a lot of back and forth on Twitter right now.
Liv may be kaput.
Yes.
We shall see. We'll monitor that situation. As far as the games last night, let me just start with the second one first, because that's the easier one to get through just in terms of time spent on it. Denny Avdija. What a night of basketball from Avdija. You may recall a couple Super Bowls ago when I went on vacation too. I was out for 2 weeks, and the very first thing I said on air when I came back was, what was the greatest thing that happened during my 2 weeks off? And you're like, I don't know what. And I said, Denny Avdija's tickled the strings to 43 balloons in a game for the Wizards at the time.
And that was forever ago at this point, man, in the career of Denny Avdija.
And my comment at the time was, that's like an 86-point night for a Gentile, right? That was amazing. And I couldn't believe that the Wizards let this dude go in a trade.
Yeah.
I'm just absolutely outraged by it. And the only conclusion I can come to, young Kelly Bidlin, I'll say it out loud, they judged a book by its cover in more ways than one. Denny Avdija last night, 41, baby. 41 points for the Portland Trailblazers. You said it best via text this morning. More than 37 people finally got to see him play basketball.
Yep.
41 points, 7 boards, 12 assists, including the layup that put up that gave the Blazers the lead at 109-108. And then when the Suns retook it at 110-109, 3 the hard way from Avdija to the rack with 16 seconds left. That held after Jalen Green missed a 3. Blazers are in the playoffs as the 7 seed. They win the 7-8 game. They were the 8 in terms of the standings, but they become the official 7 seed now in the Western Conference playoffs. And for their efforts, they get to play a best-of-7 series against the Spurs.
But if you just want the quick highlight recap of Denny Avdija, if you haven't been watching the past couple years, that last play, especially this year. The man leads the NBA and drives to the basket, has done it all regular season.
Downhill player.
Carved up. How many Suns defenders did he go through in that play? There was like four of them.
Knocked around the whole time, just getting banged up. Now, is that going to work against Spurs where Wembanyama waits under the rim?
Yeah, it's going to be a little tougher.
Probably not.
I'll tell you what, though. This was the we talked about it yesterday, Gil. Like, this was I was hoping that the Blazers would win this game because I think that they will at least put more pressure on the Spurs than the Suns. Me and Drew completely disagreed on that. I actually think that with Donovan clinging in the middle, it makes things a little bit tougher for Spurs to get to the rim easily. Yes, I don't think the Blazers are going to win this series by any means, but they could force a couple close games, I think, against the Spurs.
I was going nuts watching the end of this game. Now the Suns are not eliminated. Suns await the winner of the 9-10 game tonight between the Dub Show and the Clip Show.
You know, the other one I just realized real quick, we get the it's the Scoot Wemby matchup that everybody's been waiting years for now. Number one versus number two. Finally.
That Scoot day we went to the Dollar Loan Center Arena.
It's all coming around.
Blazers will get that best of seven series against the Spurs, and the Suns await the winner of the Clippers and Warriors tonight. That game will determine the ultimate game between the Suns and the winner of that game will be Friday night. That will determine the eighth seed, who will have a best of seven against the Thunder. The game before that, though, was the headliner, as it turned out. Heat Hornets. This was the 9-10 game in the East. Remember, loser eliminated, winner just advances or at least survives one more basketball game till they play the loser of the 7-8 tonight between the Sixers and Magic. Second quarter, first minute, nip and tuck game. Bam Adebayo off balance, you know, corralling a loose ball and trying to pass it. And LaMelo Ball sort of instinctively grabs his. Now, I'm giving him grace here by saying instinctively.
Oh, yeah.
I do think that it was instinctively. Some people are going to say it was a dirty play. It's somewhere in that world.
I heard a couple players say, hey, this is kind of something you do instinctively to make sure your hand doesn't get stepped on or someone falls on it.
Yeah, I think there is some instinct to it. There is some footage of him doing it to Bam in 2024
I was going to wait for that.
Bam falls awkwardly with no way to sort of impact his fall. Hurts his back.
Yeah.
Never to return in the game. Again, the author of the 83-point performance here in the last month of the NBA season. Gone from the Heat lineup from that point forward, first minute of the second quarter. So the Heat are hamstrung. Does that in any way deter the Miami Heat? Of course not, because they're the Miami Heat, for God's sakes. Let's just fast forward. 102-102, just over 4 minutes to go. What a flurry. What a flourish to the finish of this game. Wiggins 3. 105-102. Wiggins 3. 108-102. Brandon Miller 3. Comeback. 108-105 Heat. Hero 3, 111-105. The Heat actually have the ball up 6. With less than 2 minutes to go, they cannot capitalize. Miles Bridges 3, 111-108 Heat. Heat with the ball up 3. Hawk has fouled with less than 30 seconds to go. He makes one of two. It's 112-108. Brandon Miller 3 with 19 seconds left. 112-111. Hero fouled. He makes both. It's 114-111 Heat with 13 seconds left. And then the Hornets. You got to figure out, are the Heat going to foul? What are they going to do here? The Hornets inbounds, they don't give the Heat a chance to foul. It's a inbounds catch and shoot, Kobe White turnaround splash three. One of the most amazing threes you'll ever see given the stakes.
Yep.
Kept his feet inbounds too. They didn't really emphasize that enough, I don't think.
Welcome back to North Carolina, Kobe White, right?
Kobe White just put him within the border. But 114-114, 11 seconds left. Hero misses a three. We're going to overtime. And then in the overtime, you know, it does what happens. Underdogs go to die in overtime. It felt that way, right? 120.
I was hoping.
123-118 Hornets with the ball with under a minute to go in overtime. Bridges air balls. The shot clock winds down. So the Heat get the ball. Davion Mitchell played great. Drives to the hole. It's 123-120 Hornets with 48 seconds to go. Timeout. And then Amazon technical difficulties.
Dude.
Lasted 1 minute and 50 seconds. Did they miss the LaMelo Ball bucket on the broadcast?
From people I've talked to, I think it was a little dependent on your Amazon and maybe your location, because me and JVT seemed to miss the same amount of time.
I missed 1:50. I missed a LaMelo Ball drive to the bucket.
And that's what Danny and I were discussing this morning. It felt like we missed two possessions, one bucket.
No, I missed one possession, one bucket, which was Ball, because it was during a timeout, so there was only one possession in the end. 125-120, Amazon thankfully comes back with 26 seconds left. It was 1:50 of real time, 22 seconds of game time.
Like, Zach missed more than this, though.
Oh, really?
He was telling me he missed more than this.
Oh, my God. Anyway, Hero, insane three from the corner, as impressive as White's was. 125-123, all of a sudden with 24 seconds left. Hornets bring it up court. Larson steals it from LaMelo, gets it to Hero. Hero races to the corner, three-point attempt, fouled by Ball.
Oh.
92% free throw shooter. Hero hits them all. 126-125 Heat with under 9 seconds left. Ball to the rack. LaMelo, that is. Got it. 127-126 Hornets. Under 5 seconds left. Mitchell sprints into the front court to the bucket. Blocked by Bridges. Ball game. What a classic. Damn. What a game. Heat eliminated. Hornets await the winner of Sixers Magic loser to play for the 8th seed. Mitchell, 28. Wiggins, 27. Hero, 23 in defeat. Ball, 35-10, Bridges, 28-9, Miller, 23, White, 19 off the bench, 5-for-8 from behind the arc. And I want to talk about this after the break. Con Knepel, 6 points on 2 of 12 shooting, 0-for-6 from behind the arc.
Benched. Con.
We must discuss Con Knepel. We must discuss Denny Avdija. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah. Oh, I know where I'm going.
You know where I'm going. Next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, you can access VSiN, free access, that is, for a limited time. With Opta AI projections, MLB props are free, NBA props are free, betting splits, free DraftKings and Circa, all of that at VSiN.com. Same pro-level tools serious bettors rely on. Tonight, they go away, Kelly. That's it. Tonight, last chance on this. Free access ends today, but with a VSiN Pro subscription, you have full access to all of those tools. Find out more at VSiN.com. That's VSIN.com. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin on A Numbers Game. It's not often that we get this young lady on the show, but we're always thrilled to have her. She is the co-host of Money Moves, which is an hour after we're on. So after we go off at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, then it's Prop Points for an hour with Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson. Then it is Stormy Bonatoni and JVT. We got the Stormy portion with us today. You can follow her on Twitter at Stormy Bonatoni. Good morning. How are you?
Morning. Great. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
You just threw in a little tidbit here before we went on air when we were just chatting off air. You are a Charlotte Hornets fan? How is that?
Not by choice, necessarily. I lived in Charlotte for a handful of years. My husband is from Wilmington, North Carolina. So he is a diehard Carolina Panthers, Charlotte Hornets fan, all those things. So it's been thrust upon me through our now 11-year relationship. And so you brought up, did you see the technical difficulties yesterday? And yeah, we were freaking out. Now is not the time, especially with the chaos that ultimately ended up ensuing in the final minutes of regulation and then obviously overtime.
I am now actively rooting for this to happen a few more times so that streaming live sports goes away entirely. That is my hope.
And I mean, it's consistent, I feel like. Every time everyone gets really excited about a big event, there's always a spinny wheel or a technical difficulty or a something or other. Remember when everybody was on Netflix to watch the Tyson fight and half of the country couldn't even watch it
because
of how glitchy and weird it was? I'll give them credit. It's gotten better. But if you're really going to invest in these streaming services, especially for live sports, it has to be perfect. You can't have this kind of stuff creep up, especially because those services ultimately end up taking what is usually more high leverage games.
Absolutely. 100%. You are in a different life besides doing VSiN, of course. You work for ESPN. You do multiple sports, one of which is hockey. You obviously have a steeped history with the Vegas Golden Knights as well, doing hockey for them. I want to ask you about the NHL. Two more nights of the NHL season with the playoffs right after that. Let's just start with, you have a couple preseason futures that are still alive. What do you have going?
Yes, and I still like them, although I'm not sure if I should, in both the Minnesota Wild at 40-1 and the Vegas Golden Knights at 10-1. And obviously those numbers are shorter now. I think Vegas is still available at like 9-1, though. Their preseason number hasn't shifted significantly. But after the way that this team has kind of shifted mindset and mentality since bringing John Tortorella on, I like where they sit potentially. It stinks that both of the teams that I have things invested in are coming through the Western Conference, and you still have to go through the Colorado Avalanche, which are going to be an absolute bear. The Wild's path is very difficult, being an underdog to the Stars right away in round one, and they're not going to have home ice advantage against that team. But I think they could be live in that series. I wish there were some better ways for me to bet it, because even the plus 1.5 games on the series spread for Minnesota is minus 185. You look at the total games, 5.5, it's like minus 230 on the over for what I think is going to be a long series. So still need to do a little bit of tinkering about how I might want to approach that series when all is said and done. But I think the Wild at its core are awesome and have a lot of potential to be kind of one of those upset players as we go here throughout the postseason. What they did in bringing in Quinn Hughes midway through the season, the high end talent of their young star in Kirill Kaprizov, Matt Boldy, they have so many levels to their game that I really do feel they could be kind of a plucky, sneaky contender through this thing should Colorado get caught up, although I don't know if that's going to happen. And Vegas, meanwhile, on the other side, like I said, with Torts, they just seem to have had something click for them. And they have all the talent in the world. It's just been the goaltending that's been their issue. And if Carter Hart can continue to play at the level that he has, and if Torts can get the most out of this veteran squad, I think they could be a little bit chippy as well.
Wild Stars, the only Western Conference playoff series that you just alluded to and just talked about that is set. All of the Eastern Conference playoff series are now set. Sabres, Bruins, Lightning, Canadiens, Hurricanes, Senators, and Penguins, Flyers. But we only have that one Stars Wild so far with two nights left out west. You brought up the Avs, the Avalanche. Let me ask you a question. How many teams, in your opinion, can actually win the cup, and are you considering adding another future play at this point?
I don't want to give you an exact number, but I do think there are a handful. Colorado is the rightful favorite. They are a freaking wagon. They have done it from start to finish throughout the course of the year, maybe had a couple wonky, streaky times throughout the course of the season, but more often than not, they have been awesome, and they're getting healthy at the right time too, right? We saw Kale McCarr get back on the ice yesterday. He had three helpers in that win. Nazem Kadri as well. We thought that he wasn't going to come back potentially until the postseason started. He's back as well. They have Nathan McKinnon. Everything that you could ask for, Colorado has. Offense, defense, goaltending. So I get why they are in the position that they're in. But I think they're, I mean, I said I don't want to put a number on it. Probably five teams that at least come, maybe six, that come top of mind that could really go on to win it all for me. A team that I'm really confused about and want to know if I should reinvest in is the Carolina Hurricanes, who every year, Gil, I think they can win it, and every year they disappoint. I have, maybe, you know, Michael Lombardi would always call it a St. Jude's play. Maybe that's just what this is. I am better off donating to St. Jude's or others than betting on the Carolina Hurricanes for what they have done to me over the years. Just a sinking ship, because they either can't get out of the second round or get swept in the Eastern Conference final if they make it ultimately there. Last year, I think they still end up losing that series 4-1, but it was the first time that they had won a game in the Eastern Conference final in like 15 games since Rod Brind'Amour was a player. And so they just haven't been able to get it done. That said, I feel like I'm ready to get hurt again. I like this roster so much. They're built great. They added, could Nikolaj Ehlers be the missing piece of this roster? I don't know. Like, I am such a fan of the type of hockey that they play. They play hard. They roll four lines. They play good D. Goaltending has been a little bit tricky for them this season, but I think that they can overcome that. And I don't know. Should I get hurt again, guys? You tell me.
You sound like the NBA hardos with the Clippers. This is your Clippers, the Hurricanes.
Yeah, except for the Hurricanes are second on the odds board. Yeah. I'm like, I don't think you should buy back in, Stormy.
A little different in that respect.
Fair.
I mentioned
and I do work with JVT, who's a diehard Clippers fan, so I feel like I get that a lot.
Money moves. JVT on the Clippers and Stormy on the Hurricanes. I mentioned the four Eastern Conference playoff series that are set. Was there one of those that you wanted to bet above all?
Yes, I think that plus 140 is a pretty nice price that you can get on the Philadelphia Flyers as a dog to the Penguins. Kind of fun, Pennsylvania East versus Pennsylvania West. but I think Vladar and Net has been a real difference maker for the Flyers. 13.9 saves above expected. Porter Martone has provided an obvious spark for them down the stretch as well. And just the way that they've been playing recently, won 6-7 to close out the regular season. Since March 11th, they have done everything right to put themselves in a position to make the postseason and be peaking at the right time, which I think is one of those qualities you really look for this time of year, whether it's the NBA or the NHL. When you get to this time of the year, you want to be playing your best. 18-6-1 since March 11th. And I know that the postseason is better with Crosby in it, but I think they get knocked out in the first round.
You know what they say about Pennsylvania? Penguins in the West, Philly in the East, and Alabama in between. That's the word about Pennsylvania. Also known as known as Pennsyltucky, I believe is the other thing that it's called. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Learning today.
Yeah. What are you here for?
Big time series.
There is two more nights of the NHL regular season. Obviously, tonight there are games with implications. Are you betting anything tonight?
I'm contemplating adding Vegas puck line against Seattle today. They should have covered the puck line against Seattle when they played last week, and they ended up losing in overtime in that game. That is the lone loss that they've had under John Tortorella. So I think they get some redemption in that spot today, especially trying to still seal up the Pacific Division. And then I think you'll like this. I might go down the road of a little brain dead parlay NHL edition today.
Let's do it. I love it.
The Lightning and Red Wings money line over the Rangers and Panthers, that's plus 195. If you add in the Senators against the Leafs as well, plus 355. Leafs need to stay in the top five to keep their pick in the lottery. Otherwise, it gets shipped to Boston for trade condition reasons. A loss would move them to six. Panthers need to stay in the top 10. Otherwise, that pick goes to the Blackhawks. And the Rangers are currently third in the draft lottery. A win tonight would move them to four, with the Flames moving ahead of them. So a couple gotta lose it games on the card today in the NHL. Let's roll.
I love it. I love it. What can we expect on Money Moves today with you and JVT? Anything specific?
Lots of stuff. We will get into all of that with the NHL. Obviously, with JVT being one of our NBA analysts, we'll talk play-in, we'll talk series prices, and a couple of great guests, Noops Christensen.
Oh, Noops.
We're going to talk NBA with him. We'll get NFL draft talk. We're covering the whole gamut for our 2 hours today.
All right. Thank you, Stormy. Appreciate the time. Stormy Bonatoni, everybody. Co-host of Money Moves right here at the network. Kelly and I coming back on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget about our VSiN Pro intro offer. You can sign up now for as little as $9.99. Here's what you get: daily best bets from VSiN expert, real-time betting splits, AI-powered props and matchup tools, 24/7 live video, and full show replays, all betting guides included. Check it all out at VSiN.com/subscribe. As little as $9.99. You can't beat that. I guess you could if it was $8.99 or $7.99 or $6.99, but you understand the point.
Yes.
Yes, he says.
I do.
Yes. We get tweets, beating the book. I haven't even looked to see if we have tweets, but let's get to some tweets, shall we? Let's see here. This is from Chance Copperpot was saying, he's giving a date now. DK added injury protection on August 1st, 2025. Huh. Okay.
I know
whatever reason I remember it being earlier.
No, he tweeted again. I know what he's talking about. Chances is absolutely right. What we would see in the past, because we'd yell about this too, is DraftKings and like wouldn't be consistent with it, right? It would be a star player in a big time game that would go out, and they'd be like, "Oh, insurance or protection, like we're gonna pay you back." Now they actually have it in their house rules.
James Fessler, Gil, if Liv collapses after their Masters performance, You have a once-in-a-lifetime obligation to combine both your Hootie Johnson voice with the Urkel voice.
Okay.
Oh, the Urkel quote. Hootie with Urkel.
Yeah.
God, that's hard to do.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Did
You got it. You got it.
Did I do that? Joe Zakag? Joe Zakag. Gillis, someone from Western Pennsylvania, I can't totally disagree with your statement. It seems your logic would then make the State College Pennsylvania area Tuscaloosa. It's not me. It's James Carville. Kenny Dillingham sexual. Sorry if this has been discussed already, but have you guys seen the odds moving on NBA Rookie of the Year? Should/will Khan be penalized for last night's performance for a regular season award, considering ballots are still out? Kenny Dillingham sexual, if that is your real name. I did talk about it early on the show. During the second segment, I brought it up, of the fact that because of the 65-game appeals with all these awards, the delay has happened with the voter deadline. And so these games last night, namely Denny Avdia for Most Improved Player and Con Knepel as it relates to Rookie of the Year, did that game, do those one singular performances by both of those players affect their candidacies for those awards in the minds of voters with Most Improved and Rookie of the Year, respectively? And right now we're seeing Denny Avdia in prediction markets soaring. He's down to, the last I looked, it was like about 17 to 1. We closed in legalized sportsbook at 75 to 1. And Con Knepel is now the plus money, you know, plus money price against Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg is like 60%-ish,
yeah,
if not higher.
And that flipped from last night. Con was like 56.
Yeah. So there's that. Donnie Miller, DraftKings now has Caleb Downs over 9.5, plus 140, under minus 185. Brain explode emojis. And there's the Chance Copperpot clarification. Some occasions when people were complaining they would do it. I see. But so now officially August 2025. Got it. Thank you for that explanation, Kelly Billy. Archie Green, what do you think about Gary Player calling for the golf balls to be rolled back 60 yards, saying it's a tragedy that par fives don't exist anymore?
This has been something we've been talking about for years, and them trying to put limitations on the golf balls, drivers, all this type of stuff, because people are hitting it too far, and they're hitting it too far for how the courses are designed.
Martel J, seeing contracts for streaming agreements would be fascinating. Typically, you have service-level agreements baked into contracts when outsourcing technology, often with financial penalties or opt-outs if they can't deliver. Yeah, if they can't deliver, they can't deliver. You can bounce out of that. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Spohr, kind enough to join us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's in Austin, Texas, at his lair, his new lair there in Austin, Texas. You can follow him on Twitter at Spohr. He is, of course, the host of the Sleeper in the Bus podcast. He works at FanGraphs. And, of course, at, I always get it wrong. It's what is it? OOTB. There we go.
OOTP, out of the park baseball.
OOTP. You're down with OOTP.
Very easy, Gil.
That's right. You're down with OOTP. Paul, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Got the Brooklyn Dodgers gear on today. Let me ask you this to start things out. The most smoke and mirrors team in baseball thus far this year is the?
Probably the Twins. I know they're hitting well. I just don't think that they've got the pitching, you know. I kind of figured, you know, that they were better than they were last year. Obviously, before they sold, it's like, oh, they're going to come out of this. They're going to come out of this because I liked their lineup. That was definitely the case last year. But this year, the pitching is the problem for me. I like Joe Ryan, and I'm actually a big Taj Bradley guy, but it really falls off after that. I'll give Mick Abel some love, but you can only really run three deep. I think Bailey Ober's basically cooked anytime he's running sub 90 miles an hour. Same with Richardson. Honestly, even if you really want to put a rosy picture on the rotation, I got nothing for you in the bullpen. I think Rick Aguilera and Steve Reardon are going to be pitching. Jeff Reardon, I think, are going to be pitching later this week because it's bad. And that's really the problem with them. And so I know that they have either the best or tied for the best record in the American League. Yeah, they're 11-7. That's the second best record in baseball, best in the American League. I just don't see how they can hold up right now. Right now, they happen to be beating up a bunch of interesting pitchers. By the way, they cooked Crochet this week, Skubal.
Yeah.
And Fromber in the Tiger series. They got to both lefties there. So they're hitting well. I just don't see how they've got the long haul in them, though, in Minnesota.
April wins market exclusively. The Padres lead at 10-2. The Twins are at 10-4. Just talking about April, not March, April. But of April alone, that's where the Twins are, 10-4, just behind the Padres. Here we are, so, as we throw it up on the screen. Dodgers right behind them for April, most wins at 9-3. March, April, a little different, where our 35-1 Reds are in sixth place. I thought you were going to say Reds. I thought that was going to be your answer.
Because you think they're fraudulent? I think their pitching is a bit
of a
problem.
They just can't. And they also, like, they get these offensive droughts, too. They won yesterday with three hits, right? You know.
That's the frustrating part, though, too, is that lineup runs deep.
Yes.
In the fantasy world, we are gushing about this freaking lineup every year, it seems, to the point where, you know, we're being like, oh, well, they have too many players, this and that. Where's Christian Encarnacion going to play? I don't know. He's going to be sold to the Orioles for $8. Like, it just has not come to fruition. Duvaldo Marte, oh, fantasy god in the minors. You know, they got some guys working, Sal Stewart. Obviously, Ellie's always good. I think Matt McClain's been unlucky, by the way. I think he's going to explode. He's still tearing the cover off the ball. But I agree, like, when their offense falls short, that makes it even tougher because their starting pitching has just been dealt blow after blow after blow. And I don't know how they're going to make it through the whole year either. This was a team I loved coming into the year, but with the injuries they've already suffered and the struggling offense, I think that's a fair number two there. But Minnesota was a team that I didn't really see anything for this year. So the fact that they're even off to a hot start has surprised me.
Sal Stewart of the Reds, should folks bet him NL Rookie of the Year after his blazing start to this season?
Oh, yeah, I got no problem with that. I buy him as an absolute stud. Like, I think he's very much in the mix. Now, it's a deep rookie pool, so, you know, you're going to have a challenge AL or NL wherever you're going this year. It looks like there's going to be a battle with multiple guys that can get there. But Sal Stewart is chief among them. This guy came up, ripped five homers last year in just 58 plate appearances, showed off his power. But that was kind of an all-or-nothing power. He's got a real dynamic offensive profile that makes him a fantasy god, that makes him a real-life potential god. Five homers, three steals already, great slash line. Sal Stewart is a monster, and he's a big piece for Cincinnati. He can paper over some of their troubles, but again, he can't pitch, and that's my concern with the Reds long-term.
Yeah, and Sal Stewart is now the short shot for NL Rookie of the Year. I didn't even see this. Plus 220, even shorter than McClain and Connor Griffin and Weatherholt, all these guys. So, yeah, maybe not the best price.
You know
anymore.
How I feel about those favorites early. It's always so tough to jump on such a heavy favorite there, especially when you see what McClain did in L.A. I mean, at that point, once he's not the short shot, maybe I look his way. I love what J.J. Weatherholt's doing. You know, the numbers aren't off the charts, but the professional at-bats, as it were, he really just looks the part right now. So, yeah, it's a deep pool. And, again, you go to the AL, it might even be deeper.
The teams that were supposed to do very well that have been floundering-ish in the early going of the season, is there one of those teams that you are legitimately worried about despite the small sample size?
Well, I called Houston the horror movie villain. You just can't kill them because I really thought that they had a good offseason to put some things together. That's been wasted away by injury. And again, some teams just get the injury bug. All teams get injuries, but some teams get it worse than others, right? Like, no team, to the pros' credit, no team uses that as an excuse. They're always next man up. We got to do what we got to do. Every other team's dealing with it too, because you can't. Like, you can't sit around moping about it. But you can sit back and assess and realize that teams like Atlanta and Houston have certainly eaten the bigger share of the injury bug right now, and very much to the detriment of Houston, because they simply didn't have the depth to sustain this. They already basically kind of had to stay as healthy as you can and maybe get a 90th, 85th percentile injury outcome already. And the fact is they're nowhere near that, and it's only getting worse. You know, with Emi struggling to adjust to the States, which is totally understandable, by the way, moving halfway across the world. Like, I feel like we just assume everyone's going to be great when they get over here. That's a big adjustment. Hunter Brown getting hurt. Again, they don't have the depth to deal with this. The unfortunate part for Houston is their offense has absolutely been blazing hot, but you can't out-hit bad pitching.
Mets fans thrilled that you did not answer Mets, who are also 7-11 along with the Astros. Real quick, yes or no answer. Is this the year where another reliever, first since Eric Gagne, and I'm talking about Mason Miller, can possibly win Cy Young?
Yes, but only because voters are stupid. Relievers shouldn't win Cy Young. He's awesome. He's amazing. No shot, though.
That's a great answer. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Coming back on a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out the sharp plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, and alerts directly from the pros. Scan the QR code for more. SharpPlays.com. We get tweets beating the book. Always appreciate it. This is from...
I got another fun NBA stat for you after the tweets, too.
Oh, exciting. That's exciting. Two drinks in. What's this? Todd says Gil won't get to 40, to a 40 in any of the games. Yes, he will. Get to 40 is minus 165. No, plus 150. Somehow, some way, please get a streaming crew out there to document this match. You should steam the yes. There's no chance I'm not getting to 40. Just stop it with that. He acted like he's acting like he's a regular Roscoe Tanner. You know what I'm saying, Kelly Bidley?
For sure, yes, totally. Roscoe Tanner.
Mike Rouse, now people just egging me on to do. He says, how about a Hootie Johnson, Foghorn, Leghorn, Urkel into one quote? Yeah, well, we'll save that for the for my Vegas act, my lounge act that's coming later this month. Reggie Vegas. Talk about negative variance, Gil. I own a dog that runs at Wheeling Racetrack. It has drawn into post 5, 6, 7, or 8, 17 times in a row. Going for 18 on Friday. Of course, everyone knows you want the inside post at Wheeling. I need Wishnev to go down there and shake things up so my guy can get a good post. I think if he draws a 5, 6, 7, or 8 this time, that's like a 1 in 500,000 chance. That's crazy.
There's a lot to break down in that tweet.
Absolutely.
Greyhound racing? Is what we're talking about?
Use the word dogs. I don't know what that means.
He owns the Greyhound? Or is he just like the bet on this?
He owns.
Okay.
He owns. Nevada Azer, maybe I missed you saying it, but any idea when this ridiculous appeal by Doncic will be ruled on? Supposed to be this week. Supposed to be before the playoff game start on Saturday. But I don't know.
He's on his way back to the United States, okay? He's got a lot going on.
I think he has landed in North America.
Sure, it's the first thing he'll do.
It's the first thing he'll do. Nick Whalen joins us now. He's the co-host of Prop Points, which follows us here on the network. Top of the Hour, which he does with Jeff Erickson. Nick joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, where you can follow him, by the way, on Twitter at Whalen. Just substitute the number one for the letter L. Nick, an epic night in play-in history last night. How about that?
Yeah, how about it, guys? I mean, this is the reason we do the play-in tournament, right? It's not to maintain more competitiveness throughout the regular season. It's to set up these incredible games, which we got last night. I mean, Hornets Heat honestly was an all-timer, and I tweeted this last night. Like, it felt like they should have just let the Hornets fans storm the court. You know, they need this, right? It's been like 10 years since there's been any meaningful basketball in Charlotte, and it really, really felt like they were close. You don't see that in NBA games, but wild, wild game late. You know, I thought both teams had multiple opportunities to put this game away for Miami. You know, Hawkes missing a big free throw with under a minute left, you know, 4-point lead could have become a 5-point lead. And obviously, you know, the Hornets hit two crazy threes back to back, and then Charlotte's in control late in overtime. LaMelo Ball has, honestly, that was like watching like a mid-major college turnover, right? Where you just, you can't handle the press. He just, you know, throws the ball away, and all of a sudden Miami is in control. I have no idea why Tyler Hero basically passed on a layup to then dribble out to the corner, but of course got fouled. But it really an incredible game. I was on the Hornets to win in cover. Obviously that did not happen, but kind of a fitting end, it feels like, to what is just such a weird, convoluted season for the Heat. You know, it never really felt like they coalesced. You know, when Tyler Hero comes back, then all of a sudden Norman Powell is hurt. Like it just never really felt like this team fully came together. And I honestly think this is kind of the result that most NBA fans want. Like we want to see more of the Charlotte Hornets.
Two things. One, I guess if you're a 92% free throw shooter, you're like, no, I'll take more time off the clock because I'll make my free throws, right? That's a Tyler Hero decision. The other one, though, is you say storm the court. You know how, like, in the Major League Baseball playoffs, we always laugh at the fact that those teams pop champagne every series they win? So it'd be great if, like, the Hornets cut down the Nets. We win the 9-10 game, we cut down the Nets.
Love that. We also didn't talk about this part of the game earlier. Did you guys catch, and I'm sure there's some great, like, memes out on Twitter I missed. Did you guys catch the different faces of Del Curry? Sitting in the stands looking defeated as hell, and then they're going to overtime, and he's back on the Hornets bandwagon.
Then he was nervous eating most of the time. Del Curry, Hornets legend. All right, so let me just talk. Let's finish that thought here. So tonight we have play-in games. Obviously, we have the 7-8 in the East between the Sixers and the Magic. We have the 9-10 out West between the Clippers and the Warriors. How are you playing these two games, Nick?
Yeah, I will say I'm a little less excited for these two compared to last night. I think those were kind of on paper the two best play-in games, so hopefully we can match the overall intensity. But Magic Sixers to me is probably the toughest of the four to figure out from a side perspective. You know, who knows what's going on with the Magic in any given night? You know, there was some loose reporting yesterday that if they don't fire Jamal Mosley, then Paolo Banchero is going to demand a trade. I think we were close to getting like a Taylor Jenkins, Michael Malone situation from last year, where I thought it was possible that the Magic would have just made that decision down the stretch. But every time I'm ready to just do a full fade of the Orlando Magic, who I do still have +245 to miss the playoffs, by the way. So I will be rooting for a Sixers win tonight. But every time I'm just ready to say there's no way this team can keep pushing through all these injuries and all these locker room issues, they find a way to turn it around. So nothing would really surprise me tonight, especially with no Embiid. This is going to be more of a prop spot for me. I'm looking at Banchero over 8.5 boards. Might even look into a double-double at +130. Sixers are just not a good rebounding team, whether you're looking at total rebounds given up per game, total rebound percentage. And it doesn't really change one way or the other with or without Embiid, which was a little bit surprising when I dug into some of the on-off numbers. Both of these teams finished the season near the top of the league in pace over the final month of the year. So I do think we get a back and forth game. We get a lot of shots up. Should be a high minute night for Banchero as well. And then I'm looking at Tyrese Maxey over 29.5 points. Just a volume play here, guys. He's going to play a ton of minutes. He led the NBA in minutes per game during the regular season. Nick Nurse is not afraid to play him like 46 minutes tonight. And obviously without Joel Embiid, he needs to be the primary engine for that offense. We do have some big on-off splits with and without Embiid for Maxey. When Embiid does not play, he averages like 6.5 more points per 36 minutes. Does see a pretty big drop in his assist production. So that is why I'm on the points tonight for Maxey.
What about game two? The Warriors and the Clippers, the 9-10 game out west. The winner, of course, will play the Phoenix Suns on Friday to determine who the 8 seed is out west. I know I'm supposed to play the Clippers and lay the points here. I just cannot bring myself to do this, Nick. How are you playing this game?
If I had to pick a side, it would be the Clippers. And yet you just know Golden State will somehow find a way to muck this up and make it closer than it should be. I do like the under, and the total's up a couple points. I found 222.5 at BetMGM this morning. You got two bottom 10 teams in pace. Porzingis being out there for Golden State, that does give them a little bit more of an offensive punch, but still not really sure I trust the overall offense for the Warriors. And the Clippers really did regress offensively later in the season as well. I mean, they were basically a league average offense over the last month. So I do lean on the under here. I think it will have that playoff feel. In terms of props, Chris Dunn over 1.5 steals, 2+ steals, +105. Warriors had the third highest turnover rate over their final 15 games of the regular season. Dunn went over this number in 15 of his last 20, including the last two matchups against Golden State. I think he sees a heavy workload tonight, chasing around Steph Curry. And then you got to play something for Kawhi. Similar vein to Paolo Banchero, where I think this could be a rare night where we could see 40, 41, 42 minutes out of Kawhi Leonard. It's do or die for the Clippers. So I don't mind the over 7.5 boards, the over 36.5 points plus rebounds. He has not played 40 plus minutes since December 26th, but it has happened. There is precedent for it. I think we could see that tonight. I will say, though, the Warriors have defended Kawhi pretty well this season. His worst shooting game of the year came against Golden State, 0 of 8 from beyond the arc in the middle of the year. But this is in a one game setting, Steph versus Kawhi. I'm not betting against Kawhi Leonard in this type of setup.
Before you go here, Nick, four series established that begin on Saturday. Actually, now it's five with the Blazers and the Spurs. It's the 7-2 in the West. Winner of tonight's Sixers Magic game will have the joy of playing the Celtics in a best seven, but we don't have that one yet. So of the five that have been established, is there a series price that you want to bet? Or short of that, is there just a series you're looking forward to more than the others?
Yeah, in terms of the overall series prices, there's not anything that really jumps out to me. The odds for Knicks Hawks, I think, are interesting, especially when you compare it to Cavs Raptors. I think the Cavs and the Knicks have kind of had parallel seasons in a lot of ways, where you like a lot of the names. You like the, if you catch them on the right night, they look like maybe the best team in the East. If you catch them on the wrong night, they look like they could lose to anybody. And the Cavs are -550 to win their series against Toronto. The Knicks are only -275. Against Atlanta. And I think those are honestly pretty comparable opponents, right? They basically finished with the same record during the regular season. And I do wonder if the Hawks are just a little bit inflated because of how crazy soft that schedule was over the final 20 games. So I actually think you're getting a reasonable price on the Knicks to win that series relative to the Cavs. I think both of those could be pretty similar. But my favorite play, guys, in round one, I know we kind of talked about it at the top of the segment with Luka. I don't think Luke is going to be back. And if he is back, I don't think he's going to look like himself. Same goes for Austin Reeves, the under 5.5 games in Lakers Rockets, even as a LeBron guy, it pains me to say it. I think that's where that series is headed.
God, I haven't heard one person say that's going to be a competitive series. Not a one.
We all hope it is, though.
We all hope it is.
Yeah. I hope so.
Nick, very basic question to send you out. Who's in the NBA Finals?
Who's in the NBA Finals? I will take the easy road out, guys, and say it's going to be the Thunder and the Celtics. The Thunder win that series in six games.
There it is. Ball in a shot. Nick, we all look forward to prop points coming up at the top of the hour. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Nick Whalen, everybody. Co-host with Jeff Erickson, our other buddy there at the top of the hour for prop points. They'll have all breakdowns of multiple sports, not just the NBA. Kelly and I will come back. We'll recap the bets next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.